ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೇ ಜರಾ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜರಾ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನತಾರಿ ಮುನತೀರನತಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌನಿತಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ समावेत भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. So I heard that many of you, you all devotees joined the Shekhi to study seminar before. After that we had removing unwanted habits seminar. That was in, first one was 5 parts and that was 3 parts. This will be either 2 or 3. Let us see in what pace we will go. So I was there in New Vedic Cultural Center, Radha Vrindavan Chandra's lotus feet for about 4 months. I spent about 4 months. Then I thought, let us spend some time at the lotus feet of Radha Kunja Bihari, the original temple from where that big community came up. I mean, the big temple came up. Because it's a very great joy to be here in this place, because small size of the temple, and the very vibrant morning program, and the beautiful garden kutir close to nature, and I also have very very fond remembrances in this temple, in my regular sitting place, chanting place. When I sit there, I remember my 95, 96 still. I go back 25 years in my devotion service and I remember my very early days here. Great joy to be here. Lalit Madhav Prabhu and Karnataka Prabhu have been calling me, and they were, His Grace Keshan Prabhu wrote 1-2 page mail to me, saying that, what is this? You are staying in, you know, New Vedic Cultural Center practically 3 months, 4 months, and you are not even giving 1 week for this temple. So he was reminding me, then I decided to come here and spend some time for maybe a couple of months, I think, let us see. So, this is a very encouraging seminar. Why I am saying that? Not that the previous ones are not encouraging. The previous ones are also important. Just like you go to a doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, and he gives you, you know, Virechan, Vaman, and such kinds of treatment in Panchakarma. You know, Vaman comes from the mouth, Virechan goes from behind. And for bringing us to that Vaman and Virechan, lot of very severe austerities are there, very painful. Any of you have taken Ayurvedic treatment, Panchakarma, you will have that experience. Or you can hear from those who have taken. You will know it's a very painful treatment. But once the treatment is over, you become like a person who is, you know, 10 or 20 years younger. You feel the body becomes like a overall vehicle. So you feel very healthy after that. Like many devotees took hodal treatment in Vrindavan, isn't it? So now Sundar Shampu is undergoing now. It's very painful treatment. It really brings all the unwanted things out of the body. But once that is done, then when you become healthy, you feel very happy and cheerful, and you have a lot of energy after that. So now Antanavridhi part is over. Now we are coming to Nishtha and Ruchi. The only thing is, now we are on this side of Antanavridhi, the Nishtha and Ruchi is on that side. You have to cross that Anathanavirati by going through the previous two seminars. And His Holiness Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj has given in a very easy to understand fashion. I had to just take from there and put it all in a slideshow format and just elaborate on them. So, because we have not yet come to the steady state, this can be a very encouraging seminar for us. But based on this encouragement, we have to go back and do the homework of Anarthanavritti filling. Can I give the mic to him?
Shaky to steady, removal of unwanted habits, steady devotion and taste.
This is a series in which we have been flowing now. Yes.
In shaky to steady and removal of unwanted habits, seminars, we discussed anartha nivritti, the removal of unwanted habits, especially at the stage of unsteady devotional service.
That is anishtita bhajana kriya, which means before bhajana kriya, in bhajana kriya there is anishtita bhajana kriya before anartha nivritti, and after anartha nivritti comes bhaktir bhavati naishtiki, nishtita bhajana kriya. So till now we have been discussing about anishtita bhajana kriya and all the problems that which come. Now once you have gone through that and Anathanavritti has happened, then we come to steady state. So what it means to be in steady state, that we will discuss here. Yes.
Now we will discuss the general principles of steadiness and the role these principles play in the awakening of devotion, especially at the stages of Nishtha and Ruchi.
So we can, now in this seminar you will clearly come to know the symptoms of one situated in Nishtha and symptoms of one who may be imagining I am in Nishtha but who has not yet come. So very clearly he outlines, this is what makes it different between one in still in Anathanavritti stage and one in Nishtha, and also between Nishtha and Ruchi also. Yes.
Before devotees attain steadiness, the presence of abundant unwanted habits makes them lightning rods for the modes of passion and ignorance. Awake or asleep, such devotees are easy targets.
Yeah. You know, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato mune. There Krishna says, although the people in this world appear to be awake, and they are running busily on the roads, and they are flying in the planes, they are very busy in their business enterprises. For spiritual life, they are completely asleep. They are practically asleep, especially the people in the three gunas, especially lower gunas, Raja guna, Tama guna. So the introspective sage is wide awake in that zone where the people in Rajoguna, Tamoguna are fast asleep. And similarly, what they are very awake. What are they awake? Bhagavatam says that they are very awake in counting money. Where you have seen the and then he will put a rubber band and keep it. He's smiling also a little bit, isn't it? That they are very awake, very attentive to that. Another thing they are very wide awake is the beauty of opposite sex. As soon as somebody of the opposite sex member comes in the vicinity, as soon as they see somebody young and beautiful looking young girl, immediately they become alerted. Antenna, immediately gone. Who is she? What is her name? Where is she from? What language she speaks? So the curiosity, therefore Hiranya and Kashipu, two things. Hiranya means? And Kashipu means soft bed. So these two are the attraction for all the conditioned souls in this world. They are wide alert for this. And one who is a very seriously situated devotee, who rises above Rajaguna, Tamaguna, and actually for such devotees, you know, the worldly attractions don't appeal to them, to their minds. It's not that worldly attractions are not around, all around. They may be all around, but that doesn't appeal to them. Actually, there are so many posters put up for sex appeal. Devotee only feels sorry seeing that. Why should they strain so much, you know, showing off their bodies? Even dogs and cats are already showing off without any dress. A devotee feels only sorry for such living entities, foolish living entities. There are so many people putting lipstick and putting nail polish. See me. Devotee feels very sorry for them, isn't it? Devotee feels fed up. Why these materialistic living entities are just suffering like this, inviting more and more trouble, isn't it? So the devotee is awake in something else. The devotee hears the kirtans, the devotee hears Krishna Katha, the devotee hears the ringing of a temple bell, the devotee gets to associate with advanced devotees. For them, if they come to know some Maharaja is coming, he is going to come for a couple of days. I know there are devotees working in company. Many times they take a leave from the company and come and associate with some Swamis who come. Some people travel very far. I remember when I had gone to San Jose, there were students who had come from 6 hours distance, just for that one weekend program, you know, Saturday evening, Sunday morning or whatever. So they have traveled a long day. Some of them actually came in a car, 6 hours. So you will see that when one becomes awake in devotion service, then one is very attentive to take in devotional association, devotional food. One is very alert to that. And they are always looking for the opportunity to meet devotees, ask questions, or render some devotional service. Similarly, some people are very alert for seva. As soon as there is service anywhere, you will find them there. And not only that, they will slog hard like anything. There was one devotee in our college days, when we were preaching in IIT BHU, this devotee, he was a 10-pointer. Although he may not come and sit in the class, he had already read Prabhupada's books and everything, and he had knowledge. But he was a 10-pointer, he would tell us that, as soon as there is any youth camp, please call me, I will be the one to wash all the pots. He would wash all the pots, and 2-3 days, the kind of slogging he will do, you know. And amazingly, it was not like occasional outburst of enthusiasm. It was a steady enthusiasm. He would regularly come camp after camp, then he started coming to the voice center also and coming and washing pots, service. So he had great attachment to service. And that service gave him mercy. The service became a great mercy in his life, and the result was he became a very seriously situated devotee. Now, eventually he joined the ashrama, and here he became even more hardworking. So you will find those who are serious devotees, they will become very awake in either service to Vaishnava, service to Krishna, or they become very alert in understanding of the philosophy. Some people are so attentive, they will capture one or two words in the lecture, note down and ask questions. Prabhu, you said that particular word, what does it mean? They are very alert fellows. They are very alert with knowledge. Antenna is on for knowledge for some people. Similarly, some people are very attracted to, you know, worship of the deity, or performing kirtans and bhajans. But whatever aspect of devotional service has become very captivating to your heart, you are very fortunate. And then you see that you are so wide awake in that devotional aspect that the material vibrations don't attract you. It doesn't fascinate you. It doesn't appeal to you. You feel sorry for the materialistic people who are putting their sweat and toil ultimately to see everything doomed in frustration at the time of death. They will die in disappointment. Here in the first slide we are talking about those who have not come to that stage. They may be a devotee, but the devotee is still not yet in the stage of nishtha. Then the rajaguna, tamaguna very powerfully act in their bodies. Rajaguna is characterized by lust and tamaguna is characterized by laziness prominently. And then other corollaries come also. For example, the lust only turns into anger when it is unfulfilled. And lust only becomes greed when it is fulfilled. So, and then you will also see, this is very visibly seen in this world. Like we have one small video clip you might have seen. One boy in the supermarket, is asking for some chocolate from a father, he's not giving. So what is he doing? He's lying on the floor, waving his hands and legs, screaming, and then he's picking up everything and throwing in the hall. People are like shocked. This fellow has gone berserk. Because when lust is not fulfilled, it turns into anger. Because he wants a chocolate which is harmful for his health. But when father doesn't give, he gets wild. Similarly, in this world, we see the people lusty, whether you are a child or a grown-up man. Lust means adamant desire for that which is prohibited. That is lust. When it is not satisfied, then the one gets very wild. There are people. Nowadays I get many people writing letters asking questions. So one of them says, sir, I don't want to marry anybody because then I will be restricted to one member of the opposite sex. He says that I want to be like a playboy. I want to go around enjoying with different women. And I don't want restriction. So what is your suggestion for me? I said, you have to wait for some time to get animal body, that's all. I wrote back to him. Yeah, very soon, don't worry. Nature will provide you very soon. Yeah. And another fellow says that, sir, I don't want to be brahmachari, I don't want to be grihastha. I want to be free. Because grihastha means I have to work hard, maintain a wife, family, everything. Brahmachari means I have to align with the temple rules. I want to be free. See, these kind of people you find in Kali Yuga special. Very dangerous. Because they want to be irresponsible, not take any responsibility. Nisatvan, Shakti Hrasam, these are the words used in the Bhagavatam, you will see. They have no sattva at all, no feeling of responsibility in their lives. They want to be irresponsible. They simply want to enjoy like a dog without taking responsibility and with as many number of people. So this is actually lust. And when lust is unfulfilled, it becomes anger. And when it is fulfilled, it becomes greed. Like this fellow wanting to be a playboy and go on enjoying. It becomes greed. And then you will see when one tries to fulfill greed, sometimes some people due to their past sukriti are able to go to great heights in material life. They go to very great heights. They go higher and higher. Somebody says, I want to get into IIT. They get into IIT. I want to go abroad. They go abroad. Somebody, I want to work in Microsoft. They work in Microsoft. And somebody says, I want to be reporting to Bill Gates directly. And they are able to. So when they go up, 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 what happens? They look down at their friends from India. Like this, and they think, oh, poor fellows. They are stuck in material life below, way below in India. Now I have come up so high in life. So they become proud. When they go up due to their own past sukriti, punya, they are having some abilities, skills and everything. They become proud of that. And then after some time when they look up at three, four people who are very close to Bill Gates, who go in his car always, they are laughing, joking with him, and they think, my Lord, although I am one of the 25 people, I am not in that three people. Then what they feel? Envy. That means everything started with lust. When lust was fulfilled, became greed. When they expanded their greed more and more, eventually they became proud, and then eventually they got envy. So everything starts with lust. So lust has to be turned into love, that's all. If lust is transformed into love, problem is solved. Jaya Shri Sri Radha Kunja Vihari ki, Shri Shri Gaunitai ki. So, one should not answer the lust by fulfilling it. Recently we had this evening youth lecture, desires, express or suppress. What is the answer? If you express, you know, you exploit others. If you suppress desire, you become angry or you get psychological problem inside. Then what to do? Answer is sublimate. Neither express nor suppress. Sublimate them. Sublimate means spiritualize them. So lust is not a bad quality if it is engaged in Krishna service in a one-pointed way. The vigor, which is a downward vector, should be, you know, moved into another direction. Just like some blind man is running towards the ocean and you see him in the seashore running towards the ocean, what he will do? He will run to him and give a slap to him like this and take about and hey, run on the opposite side. Then he runs in the opposite side. Correct, huh? Then you have saved his life. And that's what Prabhupada did with all of us. In our lives also, if you see, we had so much vigor to run in the wrong directions. Simply material success and so many things. But when you run towards the ocean, a blind man will get drowned in the ocean. So that ocean is actually the ocean of Kali Yuga, where all jivas are getting more and more drowned foolishly. Blind leading the blind, all falling into ocean. But we see Prabhupada actually through his books, through his ISKCON movement, has made us take a bow turn and run towards Krishna. That's what is to be done. So lust is not a bad thing provided you already take a bow turn. You take a bow turn from the lust and you have so much vigor towards a woman, so you engage the same vigor towards Krishna. And then like somebody says, and I am so attached to her, okay, become attached to the chanting, become attached to the Shastric study, become attached to preaching. You have so much energy, drain your energy in Krishna service. So, therefore, we have to get above these two very dangerous enemies to our advancement, which is passion and ignorance, lust and laziness. Laziness is another very big problem. Actually, those who are lazy will never take initiative. They are very lazy, extremely lazy. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur tells a story, you know. He tells about there were two brothers, Lalu and Kalu, lazy fellows. Father got fed up. He asked, is there any Brahmana who can train my two sons, at least in counting rupee notes? I am a sage-ji, you know. At least let them learn to count currency notes. Counting you teach them at least, because tomorrow I can put them in the galla in my shop. So one Brahmana came forward to teach them. So he taught them. He took them to the garden and said, Lalu, look at the cow. Can you tell me how many legs cow has? So he counted 1, 2, and Kalu told them, hey, he's teaching you maths. Immediately, Lalu also stopped counting. And this fellow was wondering what to do. You know, teacher was wondering. Later on in the afternoon, when they were taking a small power nap in the afternoon, you know, when teacher got up, the whole room was filled with smoke smell. And he called Lalu and said, hey, come here, show me your hand. He smelled it and the cigarette smell was coming in the hand. Hey, Lalu Kalu, you smoked cigarette? Sir, when we were sleeping, no, somebody has used our fingers to smoke their cigarette. What kind of people? This is actually, you will find this kind of unreasonable adamance in not taking initiative. This is laziness. Tamaguna. You see, adamant laziness in not taking initiative. Those who don't take initiative, they will neither flourish in material life nor in spiritual life. Because people in passion sometimes flourish in material life. Because they are taking initiative, they are becoming good donkeys, so they flourish in, you know, some material line. Working hard. Nayam deho dehavadam duloke kashtan kaman arhati vidubujamya. He says, no, Rishabhadev. This is only for animals. But they work like animals and they get some material success at least. But people in laziness, they will neither get material nor spiritual. Of course, even those who succeed in material life will leave everything behind and go with empty hands. That is never to be forgotten. Like the honey bees, who accumulate a lot of honey. Because some student may say, oh really? Prabhuji also said that those who work hard in material life succeed in material life. I would prefer material life instead of spiritual life. Some people say, oh really? You will be a bondi at the end of your life. You will go with empty hands. Whatever you accumulated will remain behind here. Therefore, neither of these two fellows are intelligent. One in Rajoguna and Tamaguna. One has to transcend this. Yeah, go to this. Yeah.
Unfulfilling state of unsteady devotional service Anishthita bhajan kriya. When passion predominates, they feel sexually disturbed and therefore humiliated. When goodness defeats passion, they find themselves hoping for imminent deliverance from material life.
Yeah, people in goodness are moksha kam. They have a desire to be liberated. You ask a boy, hey, why do you want to join the temple? Oh Prabhuji, I don't want to work like a donkey. Outside world is horrible. You have hot prasadam in the morning. Simple, nice prasad, sattvic prasad, then chanting, dancing. So many of these fellows you will find, mode of goodness fellows are peace loving fellows. They always carry a white flag. They always like peace. Peaceful life. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So that's moksha kam. They will say that I just want to, Prabhuji, do little service and do devotional service. Go back to Godhead. Some people say like that. So there is a desire for liberation in the people who are in goodness. Of course, people in passion means achievement, accomplishment, ambition. That is what is the characteristic of passion. And when there is ignorance,
But when ignorance defeats goodness and passion, such devotees despair.
Yeah, because they become lazy, crazy, dull, and not taking initiative. They sleep too much, they eat too much, and they are unable to take charge of control of their life. Mode of ignorance means no control. One is slapped and whipped and beaten and punched and pounded and buried. One is completely helpless. One is practically dragged by his tamaguna. But rajoguna means some control is there. Like you make a policy, I will sleep at 9 o'clock, get up at 3. But then some days you find after 2-3 days you can't keep that vow. You slip from the vow. You say I will sleep at 9, it becomes 11. You will see that, hey, what is this? I made a policy I couldn't stick to. That means mode of passion. Yeah. One who never makes any policy to sleep at night, they are keeping awake all night, or they have no regulated schedule. What they are in? Ignorance, yeah. And sattva guna means very rock steady. There are some brahmacharis, I don't want to take the name because if you take the name, they feel embarrassed. But there are devotees, when they make, it's like something written on a stone, Patthar ke lakir, we say, like lion put on a stone. When they make a principle, they just stick to it. And they are rock steady. That means the which guna? Sattva guna. Sthairyam, steadiness comes in sattva guna. Yeah, go ahead.
Until most of their bad habits leave the heart, devotees are unable to become steady in their spiritual practices, no matter how hard they try. This summarizes the relatively unfulfilling state of unsteady devotional service, anishthita bhajan kriya.
You see, when we find ourselves that bad habits are not leaving, we are trying our best. With our own effort, we are not able to do. Then what to do? Therefore, we have to know that it's not enough just to say that, Prabhuji, what to do? This is my situation. I am a fallen soul. No. A fallen soul should actually take a rectifying action, which will be coming in the future slides. So, in the previous two seminars, we told a lot of things, rectification program. What all could be done to go beyond anarthanavritti stage. There are more than a dozen items are given there. There are two aspects in that. One is sins, another one is offenses. So, one has to, one may think that before nishtha we have to give up sins and after nishtha we have to work on offenses. No. Before nishtha you have to give up both sins and offenses. And after nishtha, mainly offenses, prominently. So, because if offenses are there after nishtha, that means do you think they are not there before nishtha? They are so powerfully there that we don't even see them. Because we are so clouded in our consciousness, we don't even see that we are committing offenses. But how can you know that we are committing offenses? The taste won't be there in chanting the holy name. Tears won't well up in the eyes and hair won't stand on end. We won't feel spiritual thrill. So naturally you can know that these are symptoms based on which you can know I am committing offenses. And how do you know that you are committing sins? We can see that we are breaking the four regs here and there. We are not able to fully be very staunchly fixed in devotion service. The ananya bhakti we are not able to do. So in this way the sins and offenses occupy our body, mind, words. due to which, you know, we find it a great struggle. And in fact, some people may get discouraged and take a U-turn and go away also. It has happened to some people. They say that they promised me many things in devotion service, I am not getting, so I am going back. Going back to Maya and continue getting kicks from Maya. And then after a long time, after many lifetimes, they may come back. But those people, there are some who are persistently continuing in anarthanavritti, but the problem is they will lose taste. And without taste, is it possible to continue for a long time? Then in want of taste, they will turn to women, or they will turn to material success. They will turn to popularity. Because sometimes suddenly you find surprisingly brahmachari thinks that, you know, if I go in the outside world, and I become very popular amongst materialists, they do something materially very extraordinary, and then they get very great name and fame, and that is actually a need for love. They are actually needing that pampering of the success in some form. Same with having a woman, means the woman will give me some emotion and I can patch up for whatever love I am not getting. These are the reasons actually. So which means it is very dangerous for us to persist in which platform? Before steadiness, if you are persisting in anarthanavritti, you may say no problem, anarthas can be there, I will go on like this till my last breath. No, they will not allow us. Because the anarthas will they will keep on pushing inside. Act out. And that comes out in various forms. We become very whimsical. You know, the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave a list of some 10-15 items, correct, no? So, what are the weeds that develop due to offensive chanting? So, therefore, he says here that the bad habits have to leave the heart. Otherwise, we can't become steady. And then we keep suffering, struggling. Yeah, because we need some higher taste. Go ahead.
Mode of goodness is conducive to spiritual
life. This is one big secret. Actually, it is more easy to achieve mode of goodness than to completely cross over anarthanavritti and go to steadiness. But that is not a... Crossing over steadiness is a very big step for us in conditioned stage. But doing 10 things that Krishna tells Uddhava in 11.15, 11th canto 15th chapter, there are 10 things Krishna tells Uddhava that can easily bring you to mode of goodness. And also you can read the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 14, 16, 17, 18, all those chapters. They teach us about how to live a life in mode of goodness. So, why mode of goodness I am saying is easy, relatively easy, why I am saying? Because very clear cut principles are there. See, if I tell you, remove the asat trishna in your heart, remove hrdaya dorbalyam, and I say, remove the tattva vibhrama, you will be wondering how to do it. These are very, very big anarthas in the heart. Or if I am telling you, laya, vikshepa, you know, apratipatti, kashaya, rasaswada, how to remove this, you know, sleepiness in chanting, and, you know, mind wandering, and disinterest or indifference, and leaning for materialistic tendencies, and lust, anger, greed, and all that. How do we suddenly leave these things? But aiming at mode of goodness makes it more easy. How? You can easily see, how many of you can see that you are trying for sometimes goodness, but you again and again go back to passion and ignorance. You have experience of this, correct? That is observable, very easily observable. Hey, so many lectures I heard on goodness, and look at you, rascal. You are not, you know, you are not able to sleep on time. You actually push yourself to late night. Who is keeping you up? Tell me. Your self-created duties are keeping you. So actually we can correct ourselves and see the, therefore the first three verses of NOI are very, very important. 18 items. They will take us to goodness if we very faithfully follow them. Yeah, go ahead.
But as unwanted habits leave the heart, passion and ignorance decrease proportionately, and the mode of goodness becomes increasingly dominant. The five obstacles, sleep, distraction.
So we can say like this, like, you know, if you remove the anarthas, then mode of goodness becomes prominent. Or if you work on mode of goodness along with your devotional service, and you will also see that these anarthas gradually leave the heart. For example, say I have a habit of speaking offensively or roughly or harshly with devotees, for example. That is which guna? Passion. So now I try to practice sattva guna. So what I will do? anudvegakaram vakyam, correct? Satyam prehitam chayat. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyate. I follow this tapasya to come to sattvaguna. Then naturally I change my way of speaking. I change my behavior. And with anybody I have too much problem, I keep a little distance. And then I come sattvaguna. That means what happens? Offenses also reduce or increase? They will reduce. You can see that. So they are connected. Either you avoid the offenses, you come to sattvaguna. Or you follow sattvaguna, offenses are automatically avoided. So out of the two, I feel very easily workable thing is what? Sattvaguna thing. You know the principles very clearly. These are the things you should. They are doable things, provided you associate with those who are already doing it. And you associate with them and take help from them, and we can follow those principles. And but sattvaguna alone is not enough. Sattvaguna combined with devotional service. Because sattvaguna alone is mundane. It is good for nothing. It doesn't help. It just makes you a pious person. That's all. But sattvaguna combined with chanting and prayer together can help us remove all the anarthas. Yeah. Yes.
The five obstacles: sleep, distraction, indifference, the inclination to sin and thirst for sense enjoyment dwindle to insignificance, and devotees finally achieve steadiness, nishtha.
You know these five: laya, vikshepa, apratipatti, kashaya. Kashaya is like inclination to sin, like kutam kind of thing. And rasaswada is the thirsting for mundane rasa. Yeah. Next.
Unlike the lower modes, goodness is conducive to spiritual life. In a spiritually enlightened state, devotees then become happy. Sutta Goswami describes this accomplishment.
All of you recite together.
Tada rajastamo bhava kamalo badayaschaye cheta yetai ranavidham sthitam sattve prasidati.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Yeah, this is one of the symptoms. Prabhupada says there's three people: goodness, passion and ignorance. He calls them as happy, active, foolish. Who is happy? No, goodness. And who is active? And who is foolish? Yeah. So in this way, this is one symptom. A devotee becomes very cheerful. Cheerful means not happy in material success. He's happy in spiritual life. He's happy to be with devotees, happy to chant, happy to study Shastra, happy to come for the morning program, happy in the devotional activities. He is simply joyfully situated. Evam prasanna manaso. That's the next verse will come. Evam prasanna manaso. Bhagavad bhakti yogatah. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. He becomes completely free from all bondage as he proceeds further. So here itself he says, tada rajastamo bhava. All the bad qualities arising from rajatama, they'll go away. So one more thing we can read in this connection is, three types of devotional service: tamaguna, rajaguna, sattaguna. Tamaguna devotion service means abhisandaya yohimsam dambam matsaryamevava samrambi bhinna drigbhavam sabhakti tamasamuchyate. So mode of ignorance, bhakti means five items. He says abhisandaya yohimsam, he is very violent in his behavior. Dambam means he is boastful about his achievements. Matsarya means para utkarsha asahanam, not able to tolerate others' progress. Samrambi means angry. And Bhinnadrik means separatist, whimsical, independent minded. So these five are very important. This comes in the Kapila's teachings. It's a bhakti in what guna it is? Tavaguna. Bhakti in mode of ignorance. Then there is bhakti in rajaguna. There only one thing he says. Bhakti Rajaguna means he is fruitive in mentality. Anything he does, first he will be very selfish. What is in it for me? If somebody tells him, Prabhuji, can you do this service? No. Okay, I'll do, but what will I get? Prabhuji, can you do kirtan in temple hall for half an hour? Okay, I'll do. Will you give me Mahaprasad? Guaranteed? Isn't it? So for everything you have to give him a carrot, dangle a carrot. If you do this, you will... If you join this service, now we will give you that post. you dangle the post, and then dangle Mahaprasad, something you have to give. He's a person in mode of passion, like that. And a person in mode of goodness is actually one who can do nishkama karma in the mode of goodness. At the same time, he also has a desire for purification of heart and to get liberated from all sufferings. That is his desire. But one who is doing in Vishuddha Sattva, which is pure goodness, that is the, Kapila explains 3-4 very nice verses. Mayananyena bhavena bhaktim kuruvanti ye dridham madarte tyakta karmanaha tyakta svajana bandhavaha. And then what he says, another verse? No. Nirgunasya udahritam, what is it? Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya udahritam ahetukya vyabhita ya bhakti purushottame. So for Lord Purushottama, the bhakti which is nirguna means beyond the three gunas. He is saying, ahetuki abhyabhita, ya bhakti purushottame. So unmotivated, completely uninterrupted, a person gives his body, mind, words, everything and sacrifice to Lord's pleasure. So that is a Vishuddha Sattva. So before we go to the Vishuddha Sattva bhakti, we can study about these three 81 types of devotion service, which fall in these three categories. Tamaguni, Rajaguni, Sattvaguni. And that with that, then only we can do Tada, Rajas, Tamo, Bhava, Tamolabha, Adyasche. Then only we can transcend. First of all, we should know our faults. Then we can detect our faults and feel humble ourselves. And then we can rise above.
In state of steadiness, old obstacles do not influence devotees'
behavior. Here's the good news for you. Yes, that's a good news. That means somehow if you come to steadiness, the old obstacles which you had, they will exist. For example, especially the offenses. The offenses we have committed, they are not cleared in the stage of nishtha. Not only offenses, there are some, we have to see the table, which are the anarthas which you take up to ruchi to go, you know, ekka desha vartani, bahu desha vartani, prayiki, atyantiki, purna. There are five levels of cleansing. Ekka desha vartani means, imagine if this whole hall now, temple hall, you tell somebody to clean, after dressing Prabhupada, can you please clean the hall? So he dresses Prabhupada and cleans only the portion that Prabhupada is sitting. Only around it he cleans, for example. That is ekka desha vartani, cleansing. Now, Bahudeshavatani means somebody, you tell him, Prabhuji, here also it's unclean, so he'll come with the jadu and clean this portion also. Prabhuji, here also then he cleanses. Other places he will not clean. That means few patches he cleans. That is Bahudesha. And Prayiki means he has done the whole temple hall once, but he has not attentively done. Little bit here and there is left. Atyantiki means he's a good fellow. He has done very good cleansing. He has removed all the dust. But Purna means absolute, there is no possibility of anarthas coming back at all. He has not only swept the temple hall, he has did ponching also. And he has put on the fan and dried, everything is perfect now. There is no possibility of any more dirt there. Like that. In this way, the cleansing of the anarthas takes place in 5 stages, gradually. And maybe next class I will show you the table. Which anartha, like Sukrutota, Dishkrutota, Aparadota, Bhaktiyuta, all of them, some of them are very mild in nature, like Bhakti Utta is very mild. One of the Bhakti Utta anarthas is Tarangarangini. That goes away very easily. When you come to Nishtha, it will go away. And similarly, Sukrutota also will go away. And Dushkrutota will go little ahead, it will go up to Asakti or something. In Asakti stage, it will go. But the Aparadhas go only when you have Bhagavad Darshanam. When you see Lord eye to eye, face to face, when you put your foot in the spiritual world, then no more offenses after that. But till then the effect of offenses continues. So the effect of offenses produces some pains in the spiritual life. Yeah. Go ahead.
Srila Prabhupada translates the word anavidham as without being affected. This indicates that although the symptoms of passion and ignorance may still linger in the heart, albeit with ever diminishing force, they no longer influence a devotee's behavior. This is indeed a welcome state of affairs.
Go ahead. Yeah.
When devotees achieve steadiness, they no longer expend most of their energy battling their conditioned nature. Instead, they direct their full attention to serving Krishna with devotion. The unwavering, undivided standard of service to the Lord characteristic of nishtha equivalent to the state of self satisfaction Krishna calls Brahma Bhuta.
But it is not Brahma Bhuta. Although it is somewhat similar to Brahma Bhuta, it is one step below Brahma Bhuta. He is very close to Brahma Bhuta, and that he will explain in the next para. Yeah.
Devotees in such a state qualify to perform transcendental service, parabhakti. In other words, the platform of steady devotional service, nishthita bhajana kriya, although not a transcendental state, is still a wonderful springboard from which devotees can dive into the sea of devotional bliss.
Yeah, because if you have to do parabhakti, mad bhakti labhate param. So that means, you know, Shuddha Bhakti starts from there, from Brahmabhuta onwards. That means that is only this thing, bhava stage. You have crossed ruchi. That is actually Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochiti na kankshati. Ruchi stage actually. Ruchi, once you come to go beyond nishta, asakti and ruchi. Ruchi onwards the Brahmabhuta stage starts. But this also is somewhat like Brahmabhuta, he says, for one reason. Why? You can say that. Why? Because the sins and the effects of the sins don't affect you, although they are lingering little bit. You see them present, but you don't answer them. Nor are you disturbed by them. They may be. For example, imagine you used to get very angry with somebody before and wildly shout. Now after a certain period of time, you became mature. Now whenever he behaves in certain ways, little disturbance you feel in the mind. But you don't violently respond the way you were responding before. You understand, no? So the disturbance exists, but it doesn't affect you so badly as before. In the same manner, in the nishta stage when one comes, one can look around and see, oh, the anarthas are not fully gone. The tiny ones are still hanging around, like a small snake and a big snake. Big cobra is difficult to kill, and it will slip out very fast. But the smaller one can be easily finished, tiny one. In the same manner, some anarthas are lingering in the heart, but they don't pose any big obstacle in your devotion service. One big plus point in this stage is what? Some taste has started coming in devotion service. And with that taste, you can take some nourishment, and then with that nourishment, you can attack the anarthas. But that was not there in Anathanavritti stage so much. Now when you come to nishtha, that's a plus point. Go ahead. Now you finished, yeah, next one. One more point I wanted to say here. He says that although the symptoms of passion and ignorance may linger in the heart, with ever diminishing force, he says, that means they are not as powerful as before, the anarthas. They will no longer influence the devotee's behavior, he says. This is indeed a welcome state of affairs, which means you become like a tortoise which withdraws the limbs inside. That means tortoise sees danger, and what it does? It withdraws itself. It is taking precaution, warning. I have to be careful now. That means we have to be careful even in nishtha stage. One can't be very coarse or careless. If one is careless, then one is inviting trouble. So, another interesting thing he says in the second point, we no longer expend most of our energy battling the conditioned nature like before. Before it is like manashashtani indriyani pakratisthani karshati. The living jiva is struggling to enjoy the senses, and sadhakas are struggling to stop enjoying the senses. Both are struggling. One is struggling to enjoy because they have not yet got frustrated, and others who already got frustrated, they are struggling to not enjoy. My senses are running, I will withdraw the senses. That is also a big struggle. But there are fools who are trying to chase behind Maya. There are people who are trying to save their tooth from Maya so that Maya won't break their tooth. Isn't it? But those who have come to steadiness, that kind of battling is over now. No more big struggle now. One understands that Krishna is everything. One surrenders to Krishna. So, in this way, one advances. Yeah.
Symptoms of one practicing devotional service in steadiness. The significant thinning of unwanted habits at the stage of steadiness indicates the last fight in the conquest of the unruly mind. Clear intelligence visibly dominates the steady devotee's behavior, as does the consequent spiritualization of their attitudes of I-ness and my-ness. However, their attraction to Krishna still lacks the spontaneity that will eventually arise from unimpeded devotion at the stage of real taste, ruchi. And although transcendental knowledge spiritualizes the devotee's bodily identification and along with it attachment to the body's paraphernalia, material conditioning, like a belligerent prisoner of war, still makes its influence felt at times without warning.
So here comes the symptoms now. One practicing in steadiness. The first thing he is saying here, you can see clear intelligence is visible in steady devotees. That means, you know, they act with intelligence, they speak with intelligence, they think with intelligence, and they are not misled by illusion. They are not carried away. That is one symptom. And the second thing is saying, the ahankar and mamakar start gradually reducing. That means somebody who was very arrogant becomes humble. Somebody who was very whimsical becomes guided. He is willing to be guided. He is willing to be instructed, guided. One who was never ready to take feedback, now he is coming asking, Prabhuji, please give me feedback. He is willing to change. The willingness to change has come in a person. And also one who was very proud and boastful, I am the doer, I am doing everything. So now he understands that actually, oh, there is Krishna's hand, there is Guru's hand, there is Vaishnava's hand, and I am also playing only a small role. One feels like that. So in this way, the ahinas and mahinas, actually in the Mahabharata, Vedavyasa says, the two big enemies to a transcendentalist are ahankar and mamakar, he says. And then he says, the two great friends to advance in spiritual life are giving up ahankar and mamakar, he says. There's no other way, one has to give up that. So, and how it happens, in the previous seminars we have seen, we have to make the I aligned with spiritual identity, which means I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. This is a spiritual identification of our I and mine. I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. So, and I am not this material body. We have to give up the bodily designations like Sarva Upadhi, Vinir Muktam. And that goes away by Anartanavritti as it goes. That also goes away gradually. And one more last point he says here. Read the last point again, for a very important point it is.
And although transcendental knowledge spiritualizes the devotee's bodily identification and along with it attachment to the body's paraphernalia, material conditioning, like a belligerent prisoner of war, still makes its influence felt at times without warning.
See, this is a very important thing. That means, you know, occasionally the devotee in Nishtha will be attacked by Maya again, he says. It will be occasional, but one has to be prepared for it, like that he is saying that. Yeah, go ahead.
Whereas difference between beginning stage of unsteady practice versus steady practice. Whereas pure faith is the minimum currency by which one can purchase the privilege to chant the holy name, steadiness purchases the name related to Krishna's form. That is, when qualified devotees reach steadiness, they perceive Krishna's form in their mind's eye.
This is very, another special characteristic. What is it? You see the form of Krishna, where? In your mind. That is one special gift in Nishtha stage. Go ahead.
In this way, the transition from unsteady to steady practice significantly increases the mind's absorption in the Lord, enabling devotees to realize the preeminent injunction, always remember Krishna, smartavyaha satatam Vishnuhu.
Yeah. See, in Anantanutta stage, when we are chanting the holy name, it looks like a blackout. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You sometimes wonder, what am I doing? Mind is completely clouded with so many anarthas, and sometimes one fellow was sitting with the, like this, and he was saying, Hare Krishna, he was doing this. I asked, what are you doing?
Prabhuji, I thought I am in company. You know, he's, you know, while chanting, when feedback is there, he's so much absorbed, you know, in his computer programming. So, of course, if you close your eyes and chant, you even forget that I am chanting. You forget I am calling the Lord. It's like a dark cloud in the sky. Sun has, you know, no nam nishan nahi hai, we say, no? You can't see the sun anywhere. It is so dark, that's offensive name. It's so bad like that, very pathetic. So sometimes you wonder that, you know, am I really awakening love for Krishna? You know, it's so boring, it is so burdensome, it's like climbing a mountain. Are anarthas really going or not? So many years I am a devotee. Then you look back and see, at least the one good quality is I have not given up chanting. You know, if somebody tells you, Prabhuji, anyway, this is not working now, you give it up. Will you give it up? No. 16 moments, you cannot give it up. So that means you have achieved some qualification. You have respect for Guru, you have respect for the holy name. That means you have persistently chanted all these years. Similarly, you will also see that you don't want to leave the company of devotees. You don't want to give up the practice of bowing down to Krishna every day. And you don't want to give up prasadam and go back to eating meat. Again, like old times. So that means you have made progress, which may not be immediately visible. But if you think very deeply, you will see, any of you, imagine if somebody tells you, I'll give you 5 lakh rupees donation, please eat meat at our home, will you eat? You cannot touch. That means you've got some adhikar now by practicing devotion service. At the same time, the chanting seems to be very strenuous for us because of offenses. Sins and offenses, we become very clouded. So therefore, Anantanirvrti is a very painful stage. But here he is saying, because you have crossed that painful stage, you come to the Nishtha stage, the beautiful form of the Lord is manifested in the mind's eye of the devotee. Oh, that will give such amazing nourishment to the devotee. Because once you start seeing beauty of the Lord, awakening, if you don't understand what I am saying, you can see in this world, sometimes a boy suddenly feels like love at first sight, they say. Correct, no? When you look at somebody, somehow or other God has made all of us in such a way that you feel attraction for certain type of beauty. Somebody's curly hair, or somebody's very beautiful looking eyes, or somebody's tender body or fair color, or the makeup, what do you call it? Face cut. Some face cuts are very charming, very attractive. Yeah. So you can see that nobody can deny that, you know, oh Prabhuji, I don't see any beauty in this world. You can't say that. Somebody may say, you know, I am such a very strong devotee of God, I don't see any beauty in this world. No, you see beauty, but a sannyasi also sees a very beautiful girl as beautiful, but he understands this is a display of illusory energy, illusory potency. He knows that. Whereas a conditioned soul gets, he goes crazy by saying that. That's the main difference, correct? No? Yeah, both are seeing the beauty. Correct? No? So therefore, from that beauty, now from the material beauty, you get a, you know, advancement to the spiritual beauty now. You are attracted. And that is a gift during Nishtha stage. Yeah. Go ahead.
At the beginning of unsteady practice, devotees rarely fix their mind on the Lord. And when they do, mundane thoughts generally intrude. In contrast, steady practice brings substantial meditation on Krishna. Meditation in which devotees' thoughts are more or less free from contamination.
Amazing, no? See? It's amazing it is. More or less free from contamination. Okay, to illustrate this, we can explain that we all have experience of what is a lusty thought. It's not a new thing. Similarly, we all have experience of what is an angry feeling. Because we have felt angry, we have been lusty, we have been greedy, we have been envious, we have been proud. These are experienceable emotions, which we have gone through. In the same manner, in this stage of Nishtha, one's heart develops a deep respect for Krishna, deep respect for the Acharya's teachings about Krishna, and one develops very deep faith in the deities and in the presence of Krishna, while the material world with all its material variety, that gradually goes to background. Like in computer, you do not bring to front, send to back. Isn't it? So, as you go toward Nishtha, then Krishna comes to front, then Yashoda, Nanda, you know, covered boys, covered girls, cows, calves, Yamuna, So these things keep coming to the front more and more and more. Initially you see Krishna, then associates of Krishna, then become very prominent in one's chitta, consciousness. And the material variety gradually goes to background. Like for example, it's a festival day, you know, you tell a devotee, Prabhu, I'm hearing one very wonderful pastime from 10th canto, can you please bring me a plate of prasad? And then he's asking, Prabhu, what items you'll bring? Today is festival day, Prabhu. They met 12 items today. And the devotee is very new effort devotee, is very happy about prasad. He says, whatever is there, bring it, Prabhuji. But I am more keen to complete hearing this lecture. I have started the pastime, I don't want to leave it in the middle. See the absorption. You see the absorption? The senior fellow, what is his absorption? He has heard lecture half and he wants to complete hearing the whole pastime. So he says, bring whatever prasadam is there. But the neophyte is also smiling. Why is he smiling? Today is a festival day and they made dozen items. And he wants to give the whole menu to Prabhuji. Prabhuji, see, they have made this. Because he is happy about not bringing the plate. He is happy about going to eat it. Correct, no? So just as a neophyte delights in, what is the prasad today? What are the items? Like that, advanced devotee is very delighted in, you know, Krishna's absorption. So the absorption changes from mundane things to the spiritual things when one comes to nishtha like this. One is not fascinated by the material variety. Material variety, he says, you know, atakkavir namasu yavadartasyada pramatto vyavasaya buddhihi siddhi nitarte nayate tatatra parishramam tatra samikshamanaha. This verse says, there are one more verse also. Kastam tunadritya parana chintam rite pashu nasatim namakuryat pashyanjanam paritapan jushanam. These two verses are very beautiful verses. He says, pashyanjanam paritapan jushanam. He feels pity for the suffering souls in this world who are caught in the net of maya jal of material energy. And also he says that he does not waste his energy in anything material. Like Prabhupada used to tell the devotees. By that means what? Why don't you put on the fan? And you tell them, open the window. Somebody may ask Prabhupada, why don't you say in words, open the window? You say, why should I waste my words? You tell me to glorify Krishna, I will speak. Otherwise, materially, I don't want to waste energy. So they will exert the least in material life and exert the most in spiritual life. Kaya vacha manasa. Spiritual life, you say, they will be ready to squeeze out their body spiritually. Materially, they are very lazy and not interested. So that will be the state of one in nishtha stage. And they are more or less free from all contamination due to coming to Satogunaya. Go ahead.
Even then, however, the unruly mind occasionally diverts their attention from Krishna to mundane things. Such distractions come unannounced and leave devotees perplexed about how and when they took place. Absorbed in the bliss of remembering how Krishna enters the forest in the morning with his friends and cows, devotees may suddenly find themselves absorbed in past fruitive exploits and wonder, what happened?
What happened, my Lord? I was reading a pastime, thinking of Krishna going with covered boys in the bank of Yamuna, and it was such a sweet nectarian pastime. Suddenly some thought of sense gratification comes. Dirty thought comes in the mind. It's just like bubbles coming in the surface of a lake from the bottom, from our chitta or subconscious mind. Sometimes the old dirty memories may come. Sometimes a person is going to give a program and he's speaking a very beautiful narration of Krishna, covered boy, Yashoda Maya and everything. Suddenly he looks at a beautiful woman and then mind gets disturbed. He immediately thinks, hey, who is she? What is her name? So that way mind becomes polluted. Why I am always giving the example of a woman? Because there is no problem bigger than attraction to opposite sex. Others are subordinate. Dhanam, janam, sundarin. Therefore we give that example. You are not so fascinated by money. You are not so fascinated by... So therefore, one will see that sometimes one becomes fruitive also. Somebody says, you know, Prabhu, you know, I want to invite you for a program. I can book your flight ticket. Then immediately one thinks, oh really? They are booking flight ticket. They are giving me such respect. So then one thinks, oh, this program is more important than this, you know. So in this I will get this thing. There I won't get this. So one becomes very calculative. So one may respect wealthy people more than poor people. One may respect and take advantage of a program where something selfishly is satisfying to me in that program. Things like that. So fruity thoughts occupy our mind. Occasionally, not always. It's occasional. But then we feel very shocked and surprised why it comes. Like you have a house, you clean the house very nicely. Only one godown is there, you never clean. But suddenly one day you find you are sitting and studying from the godown, like that, one snake kind of thing comes, you know that? Yeah? Some creature comes from inside. Then you understand godown has become too dirty. Yeah? I have to open the godown and clean that also. Similarly, you are superficially chanting and cleaning yourself, but suddenly from subconscious mind something pops out. Therefore, one has to clean the chitta. That means, when you go beyond nishtha, where we go? Ruchi. In ruchi stage, what happens? The holy name enters into your chitta, subconscious mind. That means cleanliness is not only conscious mind. It cleans the subconscious mind. What is the meaning of that? If chitta has gone into Krishna, you become affectionate to Krishna, you become pagal with Krishna. So you you delight in talking about Krishna, you delight in living in Krishna. And just as much as a stri sanghi is mad after a woman, similarly a devotee is mad after Krishna, like that. Therefore the example of stri sanghi is given in Bhagavatam. It's not without a reason. Striya vitanam iva sadhu vartha. Can I go to line 13, no problem? Yeah. Striya, what is that verse? Satamayam sarabhritam nisargo yadartarani shruti chetasam api pratikshanam navyabhadachyutasayat striyavitanam ivasadhu vartha. This is Shukadeva Goswami telling Parikshit. Parikshit, yan nutanayasi ishasya pitam harikatamritam. See, you are hearing the Krishna katha with so much enthu, Parikshit. Yan nutanayasi means, for you, this katha is so ever fresh and new for you. You never get tired hearing Krishna katha. You have not eaten food, you have not slept, you have not drunk water. But he is saying you are hearing with so much vigor and enthu, he is telling. And then next line he says, Sagamayam sarabhritam nisargo. In that verse he says, the saintly people, especially Vaishnavas, their joy in hearing Krishna katha is how? He is saying. Like people, you know, as soon as some talk about women comes, everybody's ears are alert. Like in offices you will see, some new secretary has joined to the company and she is going to be assistant to the manager. A beautiful lady with a long flowing hair, she is walking in. Everybody's antenna is on. They ask, hey, who is that? Who is that? Kya naam ka uska? Kya Maharashtra hai, South Indian hai, North Indian hai, East Indian hai, West Indian hai? Kya? Why you have got to know? You know, will you die without knowing it? And one pune comes. See, he's a simple pune. He says, abhi naya bharti hua department mein, abhi join kiya unhone manager ke secretary. And all big fellows are standing around pune to get information. Kya bol abhi? Wo kidhar se aaye? And big managers are saluting a pune and taking information. How shameful it is. You will see, Striya Vitana. So, talk about a woman comes, everybody is? That direction they go, isn't it? Like that he is telling, and devotees of the Lord are interested in hearing Krishna Katha, like that. Like I know, there was one devotee who had to go to washroom in between the Bhagavatam class, he had a pressure or something. So, he was hearing the class with so much enthusiasm, sitting in the front, relishing the Bhagavatam. But now he has to go to washroom. Unfortunately, FM was not working. So he was so sad, he was feeling so bad. He was running from one manager to another. On one hand he wanted to run to bathroom, on the other hand he wanted to put the FM on. He was catching the belly and telling, Prabhuji, please put the FM on. He says, only if you put the FM on, then only I will go. Otherwise I will miss the class. At the same time he has to answer the call of the nature also. So that goes to show. So those who hanker to hear are even superior to those who are sitting and hearing also. Because those who hanker to hear, they are very, very advanced people. They have a very great eagerness to hear. So therefore, if you had a hankering to hear and we are getting to hear, we relish and hear, then we grow. In this way, when our spiritual taste exceeds a certain limit, then this kind of mentality of running to fruity exploits will go away. Yeah, next. Yeah.
symptoms of appearance of steadiness in a practitioner.
Yeah.
The word steady relates especially to the consistency of devotees' acts of devotion, to their chanting, hearing and remembering. And it also refers to how consistently they display the qualities favorable to devotion, to their humility, mercifulness and tolerance.
Yeah, so two things are said here. If you are observing a devotee or observing yourself also, you have to check the consistency. The word consistency means, he says, ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati. This is consistency. Satatam, nitya. Nitya means daily, satatam means at every moment. So one has to show a consistency in behavior. It's called sthayi behavior. Sthayi means steady behavior. Like sometimes we think, you know, oh, now nowadays I am getting up early, so I am in goodness. No. It's not that just because one day you got up in goodness. You have to check how regularly. You will see, even after 2 months of getting up, you can again go back to square A. Therefore, we should see, there are many, just like somebody is doing electric work and putting a fuse doesn't make him an electrician. Correct, no? So, you have to do occasionally once in a while, you have to do such work. So, in the same manner, one should observe sthayi behavior, consistency. In what? In one's chanting, one's hearing, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and remembering the Lord. Actually, chanting and hearing should lead to remembrance of Krishna. Because tasmat kena upayena manak krishne niveshayet. So all the vidhi nishad and all we follow ultimately to come to remembrance of Krishna. And also it refers to how the second thing is saying is about the Vaishnava qualities, 26 qualities, especially humility, mercifulness, tidikshava, karunika, surda sarvadehina. So those are all secondary qualities. They are also important. Go ahead.
There are various opinions about the order in which steadiness develops in physical, vocal and mental activities.
Yeah. Physical means in your performance of devotional service. There are devotees whom you have to beg for doing service. You have to fall at their feet and request, please do service. Still they don't do. There are people. And there are other devotees who voluntarily come and ask, Prabhuji, any more service? How can I serve you? They are very ready for physical services. They are ready. Like, you know, you tell the devotees, Prabhus, the truck has come, we have to unload the truck to put the books in the Jivadaya. Immediately somebody wears a towel and runs to the bathroom. You find that's the time he gets pressure. Yeah. Isn't it? Another fellow will run to the ashram and put a blanket over himself. Prabhuji, I think I have fever. He says like that, isn't it? Now the same guy is telling them, Prabhus, yesterday's gulab jamun has left one bucket and we don't know how to finish it. Then the very same guys will come running. They will say, Prabhuji, we are there, we will take care, Prabhu. Just leave it with us, Prabhu. And you can tell them, gulab jamun is here, but your workload is there. First you transport all the boxes into the Jivadaya, then you take gulab jamun, isn't it? So, that's what he is saying. Physically, if you see now, some people are only ready for seva. Everybody is not ready for physical service. And somebody says, Prabhu, if nobody is available, Prabhu, at last you come to me, Prabhu. So, Prabhu, I am surrendered, no, Prabhu? I tell them, you are partially surrendered. Correct, no? Isn't it? That is another category. At least they are trying to be good, at least. So, that is physical. Similarly, he is also saying that in vocal, in speech, how the devotees speak, that also one has to see whether they are able to speak appropriately like a Vaishnava. Like we all have experienced that sometimes we are unable to speak like a Vaishnava. We have a Vaishnava speech, vulgar speech, or arrogant speech, or boastful speech, or criticizing speech, blaspheming speech, gossiping speech. So like these are all, it begins with loose talk, then argument, then debate, then fault finding and blasphemy. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains these things in great detail about Prajalpa in Bhakti Aloka explains. So, vocal also is important. We have to watch how the vocal thing. Sometimes you may be very, very senior devotee also wearing saffron many years, but it is very difficult to control the tongue. Especially talking ill of another Vaishnava, which is very disastrous to our spiritual advancement. One has to restrain one's tongue. One has to know that, you know, because tongue, who is the demigod of the mouth in charge? Jina, huh? No, the eating we say actually for the eyes there is Surya, for the ears Digdevatas, hands Indra, for the mouth Agni, correct. For the mouth Agni, and speech is also like Agni only. You will see that. Like in Agni in the kitchen, he is able to cook the sabjis nicely. But if you allow the heat to become little more, sabji is all burnt, isn't it? If Agni is little less, it may not be enough, isn't it? So it has to be appropriate. Similarly, you want to give a feedback, we have to combine polite and firm. We have to politely present with firmness. But if we become arrogant and harsh of speech, then that can lead to offenses, just like the prasadam is burnt. So one has to use the mouth very carefully, vocal. And then mental activities, oh, that's not in our control practically. Mind, first we have to do the physical properly, then vocal, then mental. Because mental thought process is very difficult to control. We commit a lot of mental offenses to many. Physically we may not slap somebody, or verbally we may not criticize them, but we may tolerate them. But mental offenses continue very nicely inside only. They are not very easy to... We're not very easy to give up. And in order for us to give up mental offenses, we have to go to mature devotees who can actually tell us how to get rid of those offenses by having the right perspectives. We hold a lot of wrong perspectives about others. We are uninformed about others. Or misinformed about others. Yeah, go ahead.
Srila Prabhupada praised devotees for their solid achievements in preaching, even if their chanting was not steady.
Yeah, this is steadiness in service. This is steadiness in physical. This is steadiness in service, yes.
If a devotee's mind was flickering between remembrance and mundane thoughts, he would encourage the devotee to remain steady in chanting and hearing. If you chant and hear, then remembrance will automatically come. This is from a lecture from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.22, Los Angeles. From such teachings, we can deduce that steadiness appears first in service done with the body, then in one's words, and finally in the mind. This is also the opinion of Vishnu Chakri Thakur.
Yeah, so Prabhupada used to say that, you know, try to become steady in chanting and hearing. But Prabhupada always encouraged devotees doing lot of hard work. Why? Because in the beginning, we have a lot of passion in the body. So if we exert the passion in Krishna service, we get some mercy. With that mercy, our chanting will become better. Chanting and hearing will get better. And when chanting and hearing gets better, then we can control the next two, the vocal and the mental. Yeah.
Daily experience bears
heading,
out.
Heading?
Sorry, when is one's steadiness complete?
It should not be there. When is one's steadiness complete? Yeah. When is one's steadiness complete?
Daily experience bears out that devotees may be steady in services such as book distribution or deity worship. Yet, gossip during japa or doze during Bhagavatam class. In such cases, physical steadiness appears to be easiest to achieve.
Correct. Everybody has his experience. But some people are not ready to achieve the physical steadiness also by not doing service. That means those fellows who are lazy for service are even below that. Correct. So what we should try to come to? At least go to manage. And like one devotee was telling, Prabhu, if I have done my service, you know, then all day is it free for me, I can do what I want. And I said, no, go to the manager and say, Prabhu, I can do a little more service. One more hour I can do, or two more hours. But he said, but Prabhu, I am afraid that he'll give me more. Okay, don't be afraid. You can say that you have too much time for reading, chanting, and your mind is not fixing in reading, hearing, chanting. Then you can ask for a little more service. Tell me that, Prabhu, give me one more hour service. Those devotees who go to manager and say, give me one more service, they are actually very intelligent, because they are becoming steady in the, you know, in the physical platform. That is going to eventually help them in spiritual life. So one should never hesitate for service. Like one gentleman told me, he went to this Kumbh Mela festival in north, you know, once, and our ISKCON also had a stall, and they were serving prasad. So he went to take a plate of khichdi, and one full plate he finished. It was so delightful. Then second plate he took. So, and he appreciated the khichdi to the man who was serving. He said, kya banaya aap logane prasad badiya hai, and he was telling. Then that man said, can you please help me serve this khichdi? Because I have to go and bring from the kitchen and crowd is too much here, he said. So this man washed his hands and came back and he started serving. And then that fellow went in. And then when he came back, and then when that fellow came back, instead of sending this fellow away, he told him, hey, kitchen requires help. Can you go inside? He asked him. Although he was a new person. So then this fellow, first he was serving, now he went to kitchen. There they told him to cut sabji. So he started cutting sabji. And 10 days of Kumbh Mela, he found he became the head cook. Because he himself found, he was wearing this, somebody gave him a Harinam Chadar also. He put a Harinam Chadar on the head. Hey, how are there? Hey, sabji kato? Hey, munga lagya ho? He was ordering everybody and one fellow asked him, Prabhuji, aapka Dikshit naam kya hai? He said. And then this fellow turned to him and asked, Diksha ka matlab kya hai? Then people understood. He is not even chanting one round, but he had become a head cook in the kitchen. Can you imagine? Newcomer. But how he became steady like this? By seva. That is the point. We have to become steady. So he becomes steady in service. Automatically Harinam Chadar came, beadbag came, and he was in Dhoti Kurta already. Because other devotees took care of all these things. So you just stay with devotees and render service. Everything else will follow. Yeah. Go ahead.
And many devotees capable of sitting, apparently focused in japa or dancing in kirtan, will readily admit that their minds often wander. Therefore, steadiness in controlling the mind is most elusive.
Yeah.
This conclusion is consistent with Krishna's metaphysical analysis of the relationship between the senses and mind.
Yeah, he says, Indriyani paranyagur, indriya vipanam manaha, manarastu parabuddhir, yo buddhe, paratastu saha, he says. So beyond the body is the mind, where the body is the senses, then the mind, then the intelligence. Naturally, first we have to start with physical. Yeah.
In the end, all acharyas agree that steadiness becomes complete when all three, body, words and mind, are fixed in their spiritual functions.
Okay. So there are two more which I will connect with the next week. I will leave it with page 8 only now. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Achha, Shivaji Prabhu, some people are asking, if you give some email, they can send questions. And then I can answer them in the next class. How can they send you questions, those who are hearing it now? Wisemedia.pune@gmail.com. Any of you can send questions and we will answer it. Either by email or I will answer your questions as a part of the next part.